Hey everyone, welcome back to the Intelligent Conversations podcast. Today I have the honor to speak with John Alley. John is the owner of John Alley Media. For those of you who don't know, John actually helps edit and produce the Intelligent Conversations podcast. So it's kind of awesome to have him on. So John, thanks for coming on today. I look forward to learning more about you and getting more acquainted with you. But I like to start with this question. What got you into film and video production?
Yeah, firstly, thank you for having me on. It's quite an honor for me to be on the podcast. I've edited a lot of podcasts, but never been a guest on any of the podcasts before. So it's relatively new for me, but I'll try to keep myself as entertaining as I can. Yeah. So starting off with your question, I sort of was not into film per se when I was during my early ages, but more into acting and theater and that kind of stuff. So I used to do a lot of theater plays with my school. So we used to have an annual play, and I used to be the part of every annual play every coming year. So I'd used to play different characters. So I remember one of the earliest characters I did was of a clown. I remember that because I actually had to, I think it was maybe custom made for me, the clown costume. And then I remember being painted on the clown face and then the red nose as well. Because that was, I think, one of the earliest theater performance I did that I remember.
That's cool, dude. Like, so you were you in the play or like kind of like the stage crew?
No, I was, I used to act because we were sort of really young kids. So most of the kids usually used to act, and the crew and the lighting staff was done by the school sort of teachers and the sort of the other staff, because we weren't sort of very well equipment. It was very dangerous handling the lights and other stuff due to the electricity.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's so the school kind of managed.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It was organized by the school, so they used to invite all the parents to actually see the shows, because we used to do a lot of rehearsals and sort of prepare ourselves for the final day. And then we had to book sort of a theater play as so that we could perform the theater and manage all of the people that were coming.
So what kind of shifted you to the more of the production end?
So I know if you're familiar with the OA levels system, so that's the UK system. So O levels is the ordinary system and A levels is the advanced level system. So during my A levels, it's sort of like equivalent to the high school in America.
Okay.
But it takes about 5 years, because the O levels is 3 years and A levels is 2 years. And then you sort of go ahead and start your bachelor's in the university. So during my A-levels days, I was sort of skeptical that what I should maybe pursue as a major in my college. So I was sort of confused. I started talking with my family, my friends on what I should be doing, because I had that sort of interest of going into this side, but I wasn't sure if I should go. So and then acted sort of shifted when I started my degree. It sort of maybe shifted. I started watching films. I sort of started learning the filmmaking process as well. So a lot of the things I did not know earlier, I started to understand how production works, how lighting works, how much work is actually required on the set. So that those kind of things I started to develop. And then my sort of interest was acting, but it's sort of now shifting towards direction and the whole production process as well.
That's cool. I mean, you were kind of the actor, right? You were wanted to be in that spotlight type of thing. But then you realize there's a lot more to the whole production end. And you're like, wow, that just kind of found it fascinating and stuff. So I want to get like a quick breakdown. Actually, I have this question. So what would you say is something a lot of people don't realize happens when it comes to producing, whether it's a movie or a podcast?
Yeah, so the first thing I'd say a lot of people do not realize because they aren't aware, the amount of time and effort required to do any sort of production. The hours are insane. You have to invest a lot of your own mind power before going on set. So there are actually three main components of any production. It's the pre-production, the production, and the post-production. The pre-production is the sort of doing everything on paper and getting everything on paper before going on set. So that would include, if you're doing a narrative project, that would include the story, the screenplay, and any sort of thing that you'd need, the scenes, the crew list, the cast list, anything that you'd need before going on set. So that is sort of the pre-production is essentially that you know everything on paper and anything, any sort of problem or mishap, because a lot of problems arise on when you're on set. So then you refer to the pre-production and then you adapt and improvise accordingly.
There you go. That's actually kind of this, right? And then I have another business. It kind of reminds me of running a business. I mean, that's literally what you're doing, right? You have to stop and set a plan and then like actually act on it. And then from there, you kind of adjust and say, oh, this didn't really work. Let's try this instead. It's, I kind of actually find that similar. But I notice, I guess I know this too, but you kind of do this on your own, right? Like, do you have help, like people that work
yeah,
for you?
Yeah. Yeah, so I have my younger brother involved in this as well. So he sort of helps me. And then depending on the project, I sort of add team members on what I need, because I did a project. So I'm sort of very well versed in video, but I'm not very well versed in, I know how to sound design and stuff, but I'm not very well versed in music per se. So I did a project about 1-2 months ago where I involved a music producer to produce a sort of 1 minute piece for my video project that I would then integrate and incorporate into my project.
Gotcha. So it's like finding the right people to put in the right place.
Filmmaking is all about teamwork and collaboration. You cannot do anything on your own if the project is on a bigger scale.
Okay. Yeah, that I agree too. I think regardless, collaboration is just the better way.
I worked on a web series project last year. So that has been one of the biggest projects that I've worked until now in my career. So anywhere on set, people, there were about 80 to 200 people at any given time on set. So it was a really big production for all of us. Yeah, and then if you sort of look at the behind the scenes of Hollywood films, so there are anything and everything you need to get done on set, there is a dedicated person for that.
Yeah, no, movie production especially, right? Like, that is no easy task because you have people live on set, right, and recording. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, this is right. We're doing this virtual, so you just have your video and then audio. And that's it, really. I don't know. Is there other things that you look for or like improve off of?
For this podcast or in filmmaking in general?
Or just filmmaking in general?
I'd say I think first of all, it's building a team, because I think when I work on projects, so I usually one of the biggest problems that arises for me is that to sort of instill the passion that I have for the project onto my team, because nobody understands the project like I do if I'm leading the project. So I need to motivate either if we are on the same tangent, and then I need to explain the importance of the project to them, or by any other sort of incentive. If it's not involving at a higher sort of scale the person, so then it's usually monetary benefit for them. So it's usually the lighting crew, the camera crew, because they do not understand the project like we do if we are in the core team.
I agree too. I think one of the hardest parts as like the person in charge or managing other people is actually inspiring them and figuring out a way to like motivate them to actually get something done or complete a project how you think it would be like and how it would work. So how do you do that?
So I think the creative industry or the video production industry in general differs from other industries because the projects usually vary. Each project is different from the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So that usually, I usually, first of all, just as how we did, I usually get the person on call and try to understand their objective, what they are looking to achieve from the video that I'll produce for them. So I then shift and adjust everything accordingly to the project.
Gotcha. So I guess maybe let me rephrase the question, but like, how do you motivate people like to do their job essentially, or like do it a particular way? What's your best way to motivate people?
Yeah, I think I do sort of struggle motivating people sometimes because I've had the feeling of I did my bachelor's in filmmaking, so I know a lot of people who are involved in filmmaking or are in the creative industry per se. Mm-hmm. But there obviously are other aspects of running a business. So I run a full-time business, which you've already introduced. So I have been looking for someone who'd help me in running my business. So on the sort of business development side or the lead gen side. So I've been struggling to find somebody who'd help me in that side.
Gotcha. So, I mean, if someone's listening to this and they're a lead generation specialist, they're going to reach out to you.
Yeah. So coming back to your question, I know how to motivate people in the creative side. Because I'll sit them down and then I'll explain why I think the project is important for me. And if they can help me achieve through their expertise, mm-hmm. then they usually understand. Because creative people sort of work in a different way. Money or monetary benefit solely isn't the main driving factor for them. So another thing that I think is very important for me is creative satisfaction. I usually look for creative fulfillment when I'm done doing a project.
Yeah, I think that's important too, is show like, hey, these are the results and like this is what you did type of thing. Like almost like a before and after type of thing, right?
Yeah, I think that is why I'm sort of very much involved. I've learned everything self-taught from YouTube. So I've learned Lightroom for editing photos. I've learned Photoshop from YouTube. I did start learning Premiere and After Effects during my degree because those were the part of my degree. The courses were mm-hmm. included in that. But then post-production and this sort of stuff is a never-ending learning curve. You always there are always new features and other stuff introduced in each passing year with the sort of softwares. So you always keep learning from YouTube and other peers as well.
Yeah, I think you always want to be learning too. Like, I think some people get stuck in that mindset after school. That's like, oh, that's it. Like, I have a job. We're chilling. Right. And it's like, whatever. Like, I don't need to learn anymore. I'm done. And I'm like, well, you never stop learn. Like, it's just, I don't know. It kind of bugs me too, but it's kind of cool that you recognize that. And I want to point out YouTube. I think that is one of the best ways to learn, actually.
I think online learning in general is one of the best ways to learn. I usually look for courses on, if you've heard of sites like Domestika, Udemy, Skillshare, these sort of sites. These yes. are the online learning platform. And if I find a course, I usually purchase it and then I start doing it on my own pace as I get time.
Exactly. I think that's really important too. I think some people, right, they look at those online courses and they're like, oh, this is a scam. And it's like, maybe like 5% of them are, but I would say there's some out there that are like actually really beneficial. Like, I've purchased courses too, like to your point. And I think it's a very great way to learn from people around the world, right? Not just being stuck in your geographic location, right? Like, we're what? Like, I'm in the U.S. and you're in Pakistan, right?
Yes, I'm in Pakistan.
Right? And that's the thing. We're communicating right now, learning from each other. And I think that's something, well, I mean, it is something that hasn't happened in the history of the world. Like, you can't learn from someone halfway across the world. And that's something that's new. And we're still learning, right? How to learn across the world and stuff. But I think you should never stop learning. And that's something that's important. So how do you get your people to just continue learning and just be really just excited to learn more and produce the best results?
Yeah, so I think one of the main driving factors, at least for me and the people I know, because I usually work with people that I sort of connect with. Because if I cannot connect with them, then I won't be able to convey my message across to them, and which will then lead to other miscommunications, and then it will eventually start affecting the project, which I nobody wants. At least I don't want if I'm leading the project. I want the best thing to be produced with the least amount of hassle that I can do. So learning is that if I learn something, I start to sort of share, because I usually get really excited when I'm learning something. So I'll give you another example. I think Adobe Premiere introduced a feature called Color Match in 2019 or 2018. With Color Match, usually it was used in color grading. So the Color Match was when you'll give it's similar to Lightroom, but they introduced it for video. So you'll give a reference frame. So a reference frame would be from the part of the video or another video that you like, the colors that you like, and then you'll match the colors of the reference to the current frame. So you'll just click on the color match, and it will try to match the colors as best as it can using AI and whatever the science is behind the Adobe software.
Yeah, I think Adobe, they actually are headquartered where I'm, so we kind of get some of those updates and stuff just in our local news, like, hey, they're working on this and it's so, like, to your thing especially, right? Like, I actually kind of similar to you, right? I'm like, when I learn something new, I'm like, I have to share this, right? It's like, oh my gosh, like, you guys have to know this. This is going to make your life 10 times easier. Like, you got to do this type of thing. So would you say the tonality on this, like, on how you speak is important, right? Because if I sit there and like, hey, this is a cool thing, you should try this. But if you actually project excitement, do you find that people are also excited and, you know, kind of get amped up?
I think that would depend on the other person's personality, first of all. Yeah, because I believe that you cannot forcefully tell another human being to learn something. They'll do that in front of you, but they'll eventually forget if you do not make them understand the importance of this thing. They'll do that in front of you, but then they'll forget someday after some days. So that isn't sort of constructive learning.
So it's almost like you want them to discover it on their own type of thing and learn from themselves.
Yeah, I think so somebody recently approached me, two people actually approached me to help them learn video editing and stuff. So I've been giving them classes as well. So I usually in the last class we were discussing, because they were sort of struggling with practice, because editing is a lot of practice. I can maybe spoon feed everything to them on how any sort of editing project works, because essentially the structuring for any project is same. So, but it usually varies on project to project. The structuring would stay the same. So in the last class we were discussing, they actually shared some of the concerns that they had. So I told them that I can spoon feed you as much as you want. but it won't be productive. You'll eventually forget if you don't practice. So I think I can convey or sort of push my knowledge to them as long as they are not willing to accept the knowledge and then internalize and then move on from that. Then I think that would also matter as well.
They actually have to have the willingness to act, right? Like,
yeah, first to learn or to accept the learning and then to act upon it.
Yeah, that's that right there is like the secret to success, right? You got to learn and then act, right? And then adjust.
Yeah, adapt and improvise.
Yep, exactly. So kind of on the, what does a typical day look like for you? Like video production, like what does it just everyday life look like for an everyday video producer?
I think it would then go back to the three main components that we have for production. So it would depend on the production cycle that we're on. So if we're working on the pre-production, because essentially the pre-production and the post-production phases are the longest and the production phase is the smallest, because you go shoot everything when you've sort of pre-prepared yourself and then you go to the shoot or on set and then you come back and then you start working on the editing. So it would usually depend. First of all, it would depend on the project size. So one of the examples I can give you is that I on the web series I mentioned, I was the post producer on that. So I actually invested about 1 year of my life on that project because it was about 8 episodes. And each episode was on average about 30 minutes. And then while I was working on the editing, they were also simultaneously shooting the next episodes. So it was, they would shoot the sort of episode and then the data would come to me. And when you're working with bigger cameras, so ARRIs, so ARRI, when you shoot on ARRI RAW or uncompressed format, so then you'll have to convert the footage into another format in order to open within the software. So that is a hassle. Data management and data organizing is a big hassle when you're working on such a big project.
Yeah, so it's more, if you had to give like percentages, right? So if you had to say like, for those three cycles of the production process, how much of it is spent on pre-production? How much is spent on the actual production and then the post-production?
Yeah, so if we're talking, I'll give you an example from one of my project. I shot because I usually look at trends on social media, so what's working and what's not working. So right now, short form video is really trending. I've been pushing it on my Instagram and then sort of analyzing what works and what not works on, and then sharing on my Facebook profile and LinkedIn profile the results. So people are actually really liking what I have been sharing. So I sort of did one of the biggest factors that I think matters is doing research before starting any project. So I usually go to the internet and then do a bit of research and find the most similar projects to the one that I am currently working on. So one of the projects I've mentioned was that they're actually a platform. So they're building a platform for media professionals. And then they approached me that they liked my work and they actually saw the trailer for the web series and then approached me. So as they wanted to work with me. So I did an initial meeting. I said they explained what they do at with the platform, and then they asked me that if I have any sort of ideas. I told them give me a few days and I'll do my own research and then I'll present you some of my ideas. So I did some research I'm sort of really passionate about producing travel content. So I looked into travel content, and one of the main advantages of producing travel content is that it's usually a lot more shareable because you have pretty visuals, you have sound designs, you have music that, so the shareability factor is a lot more when you're working with travel content. I shared some of the existing ideas because I've worked on some other travel projects. So I shared some of mine. I found some other references, and I then pitched them that we can do a short form video for your social media profiles.
I agree with the short form. I think that's huge. It's really holding people's attention, right? Like Instagram Reels, there's TikTok. I know some other social media platforms are pushing the short form content as well. So it's big deal.
yeah. All of the major social media platforms have their own short form content. So YouTube Shorts, Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels, TikTok videos. I don't know how many social media platforms, but every sort of major social media platform has their form of short form built in.
So I want to ask this. What is the components to make a viral video, like in the short form? Like, what are the basic things you need to make a video go viral?
Yeah, so I just published a post today talking about what has worked for me on Instagram Reels, because I randomly did an experiment on my Instagram page. So I usually post my projects, screenshots and other kind of stuff. So I was recently in Turkey last month. So I had some of the photos and this some of the short form content. So I just took it, and then I found some popular trending music. I downloaded that music. I put everything together within Premiere, and then I published it on. And I think within 1 to 2 hours, the post started to blow up, and I think it currently has about 5,000 views on Instagram. Yeah, and that's completely organic without boosting any sort of sponsoring the videos. And I think maybe uploaded another one yesterday or the day before yesterday, and then that sort of had similar results. Because if you scroll on Instagram, most of your feed is filled with Instagram Reels. So they really are pushing Reels. Other form of content isn't being pushed at all. So a lot of the people I follow, so if you've heard of Peter McKinnon, he's a photographer based in Canada. So they're usually now raising concerns that Instagram originally was a photo sharing platform, but now when we publish photos, we are losing followers. So we're looking to shift to other platforms. So I think that is a direct sort of effect when Instagram started competing with TikTok. Yeah, I think that is the disadvantage of directly competing with TikTok, because TikTok does not allow you to share photos. It's only short form video.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. So for photographers, right, you kind of mentioned that. Where do they go then if it's kind of getting pushed under the rug by Instagram?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but in the same exact video, Peter McKinnon mentioned another platform called Vero. I'm not exactly sure about the name, but I'll confirm the name afterwards. I think it's V-E-R-O, Vero.com. It's very much similar to what Instagram used to be about 5 years ago, I'd say.
That's awesome. So it's kind of that platform for photographers, and gotcha. Yeah, because I actually have someone that I know that's a photographer in my area, and he did like cars and stuff, but he kind of came and he talked to me and he was like, yo, I'm going to get like video producing stuff, because on Instagram, all these other platforms, they're moving to video and I need to figure out how to do that. So I actually want to ask this, how different is, and this might be a stupid question, but how different is video production and like photography?
Not that sort of different, because the fundamentals are the same. So when you're working with video, the composition and that sort of framing, that is similar to photography and video. And sometimes I'd say photographers do a better composition than videographers, because photography, it's kind of really important to get that perfect shot. because you really have one chance to take that perfect shot. And then in video, you usually, I'd say people skim on sort of the framing because they say they will fix it in post. It's a recurring sort of a meme or a gag within the video industry that fix it in post. So it's sort of anything that you cannot do properly on set, you just say fix it in post. But that is a sort of really becomes a nightmare when you can't fix it in post.
Yeah, I see that, because I used to do the like video production on my own, and then I found you and I was like, oh, you're way better than I am. And that's like taking that step and saying, hey, I need that. That's probably my biggest problem is actually asking for help and saying, hey, you're really good at this, you should like do this, I'll pay you whatever, right? But I'm gonna ask the intelligent question of the day, and forgive me if it's horrible, but if you had to give advice to someone that's looking to get in the video industry, or just, you know, go to school and learn and things like that, what's your advice so then they can be the absolute best video producer or whatever it may be? What is the best advice you can give?
Fortunately for my answer, a lot of people actually do reach out and then ask the same question. They usually say that I saw your work and I really love what you're doing and I want to get started in the video production industry. So what advice would you give me? So I usually say that do not, even if you're sort of starting your majors in filmmaking, so I'd say do not be entirely dependent on the institution to make you learn everything. You will need to learn to start to self-learn if you really want to be the best at what you're doing. And then what I would have done differently when I started, I'd maybe reach out to some directors, videographers, filmmakers who I think I really love their work, and they're in my area, and I'll ask them if I could maybe job shadow them on set, because the amount of learning that you do on set is really different when you're sort of watching a video. So it's in filmmaking, practical sort of hands-on experience is really important. Theoretically, you can maybe study and maybe do a PhD in film, but if you do not have practical hands-on experience, then it's, I think it's kind of, there's no point in having all that theoretical knowledge if you cannot even apply the knowledge on set.
Yeah, 100%. There, everyone that's listening right there, that's the intelligent answer of the day. And I'm going to build off that as well, especially like just for people, maybe they're not interested in video. I think what you said there at the end is important. You have to be able to apply what you learn and actually put it to action, actually make it work type of thing. Because we can theorize, come up with all these creative ideas, but then it's actually implementing it, that's the hardest thing. And I think you're no stranger to that as well. So, John, I want to thank you again for coming on today. It was something I was looking forward to. But if people want to reach out to you, get their services from you, what's the best way they can find you, reach out to you, and learn more about you?
Yeah, so I think the best way to reach out to me would be either via Instagram, because I usually share most of my projects on Instagram. I have video projects, and then I have sort of the stills from the projects that I've done. And now recently I started posting reels, so I have a lot of reels on there as well. And then if they are sort of, because I share a lot of my learnings on LinkedIn as well. I think LinkedIn is a really underrated platform that people don't really use. So I think best ways is either Instagram or LinkedIn. And if anybody wants to see my portfolio, then it's on my website. It's johnalimedia.com.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And one other thing, what's the tag on that Instagram?
All social media for me is @johnalimedia.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. So everyone, as you can tell, that is John Alley. very intelligent person, had great things to say today. I challenge you guys, if you like whatever you heard today, or if you want to get services for him, I would reach out to him. Stay tuned till next week. I have a great guest lined up for you guys. See you guys next week, and let's get after it. Hey everyone, if you liked this episode and would like to hear more, be sure to hit that subscribe or follow button. We release a new episode every Wednesday for you guys to listen to. Thank you guys so much for the support that you give. We could not have done this without you guys. If you would like to be a potential guest on the show, check out intelligentconvos.com and fill out the form there. Thank you guys again, and let's get after it.